Well, I'll be damned if it isn't time for another David Darren's Top 5 Things podcast, a review of what we got done on the morning show that they let us do on Planet 93.9.
Why, I oughta.
Are you so-and-so?
If I had half a nerve.
My name is Dave. His name is Darren. Hello there, Darren.
Hello there. The podcast is brought to you by the good people at Nature's Treatment of Illinois. Their goal is to fully understand their clients' needs physically, mentally, and emotionally because they know it's not easy to live with a chronic illness. Their experienced wellness consultants will sit down with you and discuss what options work best to make you feel more comfortable. Frequently asked questions, if you'd like to take a look, are answered at the website ntillinois.com.
Bing bong.
Let's bing bong.
Get into it with the first of five, the top five things. This one would be number one.
Number one.
Number one.
Steph Curry is the all-time three-point champion.
Yeah. How about that?
Hit his 2,974th three-pointer.
Yeah.
Last night.
You think that's a record that'll ever be broken?
Well, he's not done yet. That's the thing.
Oh yeah, probably tomorrow night.
You know, he'll break it again. He'll probably break it.
I think it'd be classier if he just decided that's it, no more three pointers.
So he broke.
I'm going hard to the hole every time now.
I'm just gonna jam.
It's been done. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he broke the record that Ray Allen had. Mm-hmm. However, Ray Allen played in 1,300 regular season games to set that mark. And Steph Curry's only played in 789.
Oh.
So how is that fair?
Well,
again, Space Jam.
I guess I just don't get excited about this because in my mind, and I'm sure I'm way off here, but in my mind, the three-point shot's a pretty recent development. Right? That's something that's only been going on for...
Well, 35 years or whatever.
Has it been 35 years that they put the three-point line in there?
Late 80s?
Really?
Something like that?
It feels like it's a recent development.
Well, that is somewhat recent for people of a certain age.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, in my mind, it's like 2 years ago.
It's not 2 years ago.
So the three-point line in the NBA.
Yes.
That would be 23 feet 9 inches from the center of the basket. They started doing it at the college level. They started testing it in 1945. Come on. Just went World War II, and you know what? We got cocky.
You're right.
It's like, you know what?
It was recent.
The NBA did a trial season for the 79-80 season, and everyone thought it was a gimmick. The first three-point shot ever was October 12th, 1979? Oh, I don't remember this at all. I have no memory of this. That was Larry Bird's first ever game there at the Boston Garden.
And mm-hmm.
So has this been going on forever? I'm confused. They brought it into the league then in 1989.
Okay, there you go. Late 80s.
All right. For three!
Yes!
So is
help me into my camisole.
Oh, I'm going to bite down hard. Well, that's
remember when that was the biggest news on the face of the earth?
That Marv Albert liked to put on teddies and bite hookers?
Uh-huh.
That's a pretty big day.
Boy, I tell you what, what a simpler time that was.
Am I wrong, too? Was his toupee, like, askew?
What do you mean, askew?
Like, in the mugshot. Was his toupe on, like, crooked when they took his mugshot? Did they take a mugshot? What was the picture that I'm thinking of? He had his toupe was on wrong, right?
He was biting
down.
Right.
Yes, he was biting down hard.
Wasn't that his gimmick?
And he ended up getting a raise, didn't he? Isn't that how that all worked out?
It's not bad. That's not bad.
Just hang in there and you'll get more money.
And then his kid Kenny went on to call a bunch of games. Hey, quick question, Kenny. Is it about my dad?
Just hang in there, Kenny. This is all going to blow over.
Mm-hmm. 1997. Woman accused Albert of throwing her onto her bed, biting her. This is ugly. The details of this are not fun. There was DNA material that they were able to get, and they matched bite marks from Marv Albert.
On a pencil.
Oh, no. Oh, this is not great.
But, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Steph Curry breaks the record at Madison Square Garden, so I have to imagine Marv was there, right? Isn't he still working, or is he retired?
He's 80 years old. I don't think he's working anymore.
He's done?
No.
Yes.
Albert called this woman, another woman, to his hotel room to help him send a fax. When she got there to help him with the fax machine, Marv was wearing white panties and a garter belt.
Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts.
Oh, no. He was then let go from NBC. Bob Costas took over his gig. And then 2 years later, they rehired him. Yeah, 2 years.
At pay raise.
Did he make more money? He probably did.
I bet he did.
I guess.
Give me the Jeffrey Toobin deal.
He retired at the end of the 2021 season. So he's just now retired. Yeah. Would he have been there last night? Maybe just as a fan.
Maybe as a fan. Mm-hmm. Or as like some sort of dignitary.
Or as like a Nick girl. They wheel him out. He comes out of a cake. And now to honor Steph Curry's achievement.
Ladies and gentlemen.
We'd like to give him a cake.
And you know what that means. Come on, Madison Square Garden fans.
Come on, Garden fans. Bing bong. Bing bong for your hero, Marv Albert. Bing bong,
bring
everybody.
Bring out the cake.
Wheel out Marv's cake.
Bing bong.
Now you're talking.
Everyone in the garden knows that Marv's in the cake.
Oh, no.
They all know
he has trouble climbing out of the top of it. Ah!
Who wants to lick the frosting?
Bing bong, hello!
That's why...
Steph Curry breaks the record, mm-hmm. And it's all got to be about you, Marv, doesn't it?
He comes out, he's got the Madonna bustier from the Vogue video on for some reason. Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Express yourself, Marv.
He's chained to a bed like Madonna in the Express Yourself video. What the hell is going on? How does this honor Steph Curry's accomplishment?
It really doesn't. It is, as a matter of fact, it detracts from it. This was supposed to be Steph's night.
This is
here in
right.
New York City.
This is not.
And Marv Albert has hijacked it again.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, to honor Steph Curry, playing the role of Madonna from the Express Yourself video.
You know who it is.
I got something to say about it. And now to honor Steph Curry, wielding him out on the bed, welcome the Nick girls. And disgraced former announcer, Marv Albert.
Disgraced nothing.
Uh-huh. You missed an
I got a raise.
You missed an opportunity to open up a chain of stores called Marv's Secret. Just selling, you know, panties and garter belts to old dudes with toupees. You tell me that there's not a lot of money to be made in that demographic.
Fortune.
Mm-hmm. Did they do the celebration after the game or during the game?
No, I think probably after he hit the shot, he was congratulated by Ray Allen and the and the NBA commissioner and the Knick girls.
Don't we have a game to play at some
point?
Well,
they only take a few seconds to say, hey, a record has been broken.
Right. It says
and
here.
Then you move on.
It says here there was a lengthy celebration inside Madison Square Garden. Curry hugged his parents, teammates, and Ray Allen, whose record stood for 10 years.
Yeah.
Curry's mark could last much longer.
Well, yeah, because he's probably going to play for another, 10 years?
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Well, congratulations. Sorry that it got ugly with Marv Albert getting,
right.
getting wheeled out of
I don't
cake.
Know. I don't know. I don't know why we had to... had to turn it into all this.
What?
Take a moment to collect yourself, and we'll start the game up here in a matter of minutes.
He said, I'll never shoot another three again. After what I saw.
I'm going to quit the game.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, to honor America, bustier'd up Marv Albert.
I would just like to let everybody know that I've just received a raise.
He's got on the ponytail and the big Madonna microphone. Yes.
Yeah. I don't even work for you people anymore, and I got more money.
Comes out of the cake ass first.
Guess who?
Right. And now to honor America and Steph Curry, we're going to play mystery date.
Marv Albert style.
We're going to play Marv Albert's mystery date.
It's no
Steph, if you could help him with a fax.
It's no mystery to his history.
Oh, now that you've sunk that shot, Marv needs help delivering a fax. Go to the cake and help him, Steph, for a big surprise.
Yes!
Okay. Yeah, I beat Mr. Allen's record.
And I'm never going to play this game again.
I looked out and there was it looked like a breech baby coming out of a cake.
I looked into the abyss.
Guess who?
I don't want to play this game anymore. I want
Bing bong.
I want to do this anymore.
He just leaves the
he
court.
Just walks. He just throws a towel around over his head and walks out
just
of the building.
Walks out of the garden in his uniform.
Throws
his jersey into the trash.
I'll just catch the next car.
I don't want to do this anymore.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Well, congratulations. An accomplishment.
Way to go, Steph. What a night at the Garden.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, congratulations to Steph Curry. And now the voice of the New York Knicks will come out of a cake ass first. What?
Guess who?
Number two.
Some world records that I want to share with you. And these are actual bona fide world records, not the one guy in Idaho who seems to get like three or four a week.
By stacking an M&M on top of each other.
Right? These are world records where I say, okay, this is a thing. There's a bodybuilder in the Kurdistan region of Iraq who just pulled a double-decker bus a distance of nearly 170 feet in a bid to land a Guinness World Record. Pulling a double-decker bus. His name is Majid Yaha. He's 51 years old. He's a power lifter, and he owns his own gym. Pulled the red double-decker bus, which, by the way, was occupied by 15 passengers, a distance of 169,
dudes!
Feet.
And not downhill.
No. No. No, that would be a mistake to...
Uh-oh.
Didn't think that all the way through. It's coming at me pretty quick. The rope does nothing.
The rope is no protection.
Though with this rope, I'd be fine, but no.
That's not the case. And he was pulling it with his hands and arms.
Yeah.
This is not one of those things where you put something in your mouth and
look at this
pull
cat.
Him.
He just basically puts the rope around him like a yoke, right? And now here he goes. They're about to get started. They're giving him first a little bottle of water to take the edge off. He's got quite a crowd here to see him do this feat. And I got to say,
he doesn't look that young or that fit.
No, he's pretty well built, though, man.
Yeah, this okay.
This guy's got a physique. Here he goes. They've turned the headlights on the double-decker bus, you know, for safety.
I'm guessing it's in neutral.
I'm hoping they don't have the parking brake on.
Because that's impressive.
Now you got
something. Want a record that means something, put the parking brake on.
15 passengers in the bus. I imagine you would want kind of lighter passengers, right?
Does it matter?
I would try and get a bunch of Twiggies in there. As impressive as that is, Darren, a 74-year-old British strongman is closing in on setting 100 world records. His latest? He wants to balance a smoking chimney on his head.
I got the inspiration from Santa.
I know. What are you doing? Balance a smoking chimney on your head.
If you're working for the Guinness people,
yeah,
do you just go, no?
That's got to be an exhausting job.
No, that's not a thing.
They probably say no to 1,000 things before they say yes to one,
They say yes to this? What did they say no to?
John Evans is almost 75 years old, and he's just broken his 99th world record by balancing a chimney on his head, all while dressed in a Santa suit.
Okay, so he was inspired by Santa.
Indeed. This was a smoking chimney. He says he discovered his talent for strength and balance when he was working as a teenager doing construction. Quote, I was about 17, 18. I used to carry bricks on my head on a board, taking 24 bricks on my head up ladders. When I was about 42, I went and done this charity event, and it made a huge press that all the papers came and photographed me, and all the television came and done the same, and I was just balancing then about 24 bricks on my head. He's got some medical conditions, but he's still able to topple records. He says, I'm 74 years old.
I no longer have a neck.
I've got one eye. I got one plastic eye. I'm a diabetic. I've got asthma. What about my asthma? I'll give you asthma. I've got angina. And after all said and done, I've got 98 world records, here's one of them.
He has a what?
Angina.
Oh.
That's not...
Oh, that's like heartburn.
Severe pain in the chest,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, all right, gotcha.
Angina is...
I misheard you.
Yeah. It's an inadequate blood supply to the heart, causes pain.
Gotcha.
It's not great.
No, it's not the best.
He's... He's going to continue breaking feats for his upcoming 75th birthday. Up next, he says, I'm having a big 5x5 foot crown made, and I'm going to balance that on my head. And that'll be my 100th world record. Well, that's awesome. So his gimmick is just balancing stuff on his head. To be 75 years old and have a smoking chimney on your head, that's...
Nothing I aspire to.
No? That doesn't do anything for you?
Not really.
Boy, that chimney sure is smoking, Darren. He's going after it here. Oh, my gosh. This guy looks like he's
what's
a
he got,
lot.
What's he got, a log in his mouth?
Look at
for example.
I mean, he's balancing a whole chimney on his head while dressed like Santa. His 99th world record.
All right, he's dressed like Santa.
This should not be a world record of anything.
He's dressed like Santa, but he's English, so it's like that Father Christmas gimmick where it just looks like a bathrobe. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
They're Santa, frankly. English Santa, Father Christmas. It's pretty lazy.
Meet British strongman John Evans.
Yo, ho, ho.
I'm 74 years old. I've got one eye.
Whoa. Yo, ho, ho. Is he a Santa or a pirate?
Does Father Christmas say yo, ho, ho?
Yo, ho, ho.
He's very good.
Since when does Santa have a big, giant gold loop earring?
All right, elves. Put up the jolly Roger.
You're right. He's saying yo, ho, ho.
I'm a diabetic. I've got asthma. I've got angina. And after all said and done, I've got 98 world records. And here's one of them, for example. And this is me balancing... milk crates on my head for well over 10 seconds in a place called Ireland.
He has balanced everything, Derbyshire.
A place called Ireland.
I think he
Ireland.
Also have a deviated septum.
Well, this guy's got asthma.
England well, he's got a chimney on his head. He's got... I'll tell you why you can't breathe so well.
You know, Darren...
You've got a burning chimney.
Darren, once again, you've raised the very best point. Maybe an asthmatic shouldn't have a smoking chimney on his head.
I'm just saying.
That noggin, including bricks, milk crates, and cars.
And it weighed 357 pounds. If that had gone wrong, it would have killed me.
John discovered this talent as a teen working on building sites.
Back when I was about 17, 18, I used to carry bricks on my head on a board, taking 24 bricks on my head up ladders. When I was about 42, I got asked to do some sort of charity event, and I balanced a few bricks on my head, and it made huge press.
And it sounds like he's just addicted.
Has served him well.
This guy's just addicted to the attention he gets when he puts stuff on his head, right?
You're very age-specific. You remember exactly.
Yo, ho, ho.
I was 42 and a half.
I remember it was a Wednesday. Wow. Well, he's talented. He's traveled the world. He's been to Hollywood, and he's been to Paris, France. And he's going to keep doing this until he gets the 5x5-foot crown for his 100th world record there for his 75th birthday. He thinks Santa says, yo-ho-ho. Don't forget, kids, to leave some rum out for Santa this year.
No, that's what he brings all the little kids, a bottle of rum.
Wait a minute, there's no presents, but there's a treasure map.
He's already had his 100th world record. If we just look into how many concussions he's had.
Number three.
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 I guess if you have a real Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Which I've never had in my life.
Really?
Yeah. Every Christmas tree I've ever had has been an artificial tree.
Okay, so I guess I didn't realize that the tree that got thrown down the stairs.
Yeah.
Was... an artificial tree.
Yeah, yeah. We had to pick it up and then put it in a box and set it up again the next year.
Put it back away. So it's still around.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, maybe.
Well, it was around for a while after that Christmas, though.
I think that's correct. Yes. Yeah. Yes. So, no.
And then every time you would look at the tree and it was like, and a friend would come over, it's like, why is that thing bent up a bit? Why is your tree bent up that way?
We're a complicated family.
My dad's a complicated man.
It's a lot of unresolved issues this time of year. If you have a real Christmas tree, you're being warned to keep an eye out for what they call walnut-sized lumps on your tree. Because those walnut-sized lumps that looks like a pine cone that might be hidden in the branches, those lumps are in fact 100 to 200 praying mantis eggs.
Mm. So this would be something you'd find on the branches.
Yeah, if you see like an egg mass on your Christmas tree, they say the best thing you can do, like don't panic, clip the branch that it's on.
Yeah.
And then they say you should put it in your garden.
Huh.
Because those praying mantises will do wonders for your garden.
If you have a garden. Now, what if I don't have a garden? Than anywhere outside will do?
Yeah, I guess.
Put it underneath your pillow.
Don't bring them inside.
And make three wishes.
I woke up to the sound of 200 praying mantis eggs cracking at once.
There are worms in my ears.
Yeah, the problem is if they hatch, when you bring them in your house, right?
Yeah.
It's warm in your house, and the eggs think that it's spring.
It's time to,
And it's time to do hatch. Yeah. People find that these eggs are hatching, and then there's just hundreds of these little
I've
bugs.
Named all 200 of them. They're my friends.
Someone here is saying, we had a tree with one in it, and we didn't know until they hatched they were everywhere. Another person saying, this happened a few years ago. Went to my in-law's house, came back, a bunch of little bugs, found they were praying mantises. I think we still have PTSD from what had happened to us. So, yeah, that's the warm temperatures in your living room could accelerate the time needed for the praying mantis eggs to hatch. Cut the branch off.
Get it outside.
Put it outside your house. And
put it in the neighbor's yard. Find a neighbor you have issues with.
Make a wreath for a neighbor you're having problems with. Tell them to keep it in their house and have a praying mantis Christmas. Merry praying mantis Christmas, everybody.
Make a decoration out of it and put it on a box full of fudge.
Now you get something to pray about. There's a story in Florida of
Florida.
A beehive that they found behind a bathroom wall. Tens of thousands of bees looking for a new home down in St. Petersburg. A local beekeeper telling the news down there that a homeowner knew that there was a beehive behind the wall of the shower, and they weren't at first too concerned about it.
Didn't know how big it was.
It wasn't until the bees started coming through the cracks and into the house, and then the husband at the house got stung, that they decided to call a beekeeper.
Yeah, it's not quite as refreshing as it sounds, a bee shower.
I don't know that if I had a bathroom and I knew there was a beehive on the other side of the shower, I don't know that I would be as okay with that as they were. Yeah, it's no big deal.
Got some wall spray if you want.
So sticky. So this couple with the beehive in the behind the wall of their shower, they call the beekeeper, she shows up, and they end up removing the ceiling or the shower tile, right? They have to pull the shower tile off to get to what turns out it was a 7-foot beehive.
Nice. Honeycomb hideout.
Yeah. Beekeeper explaining, I have a heat thermal gun, and the hive was pretty large. As soon as I started breaking away the tile, I realized how massive this colony was. There was 100 pounds of honey in the bathroom wall.
Nice.
And they estimate anywhere from 60 to 80,000 bees were living in the hive. Once she got the queen safely out of there, all of the bees were taken back to her bee farm. A bee farm, by the way, that's called How's Your Day, Honey? That's very clever. 80,000 bees in your wall, and you were okay with it until they started coming out of the wall.
And now you got a lifetime's worth of honey.
Yeah, I'm not eating bathroom honey. No thanks.
Yeah, bathroom honey, that means something else.
This honey's delicious. Tell me about it. Where'd you find it? It was in our bathroom. Excuse me? After the tiles were removed, they found a 7-foot beehive and up to 80,000 bees living in this thing. If it were another room of the house, I might be interested. But no thanks. If you're offering me bathroom honey, that's a hard pass for me.
So you'd be okay if it was maybe like living room honey?
Sure.
or pantry honey.
Oh, pantry honey, I would be very interested in trying. I'm just, anytime
master the word, bedroom honey?
Well, that's problematic for other reasons.
That's it, it really is.
Yeah.
The stank.
I mean, I'd rather it be a beehive from a tree, if I'm being honest. I don't know that any beehive in your house is something I need to be eating honey from. I like the idea of a beehive being somewhere where people aren't doing filthy people things.
You know, it can't go rancid.
Honey?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
But there's expiration dates on honey, even though I know that they say it can't go bad. They do have expiration dates on
it,
right?
It might get a little hard, I suppose.
Like, there was honey in the Pharaoh's tombs. Did anyone ever eat those? That honey when they found it? Or did it like evaporate by that point? How did they know that there was honey in the Pharaoh's tombs?
Because he had a smile on his face.
Look at that. Look at that King Tut.
Nothing, honey.
Look at how happy he is. When they found these, like when they found King Tut, didn't they find honey in the tomb down there?
Is that in the song?
3,000-year-old honey was placed in honeypots in King Tut's tomb. That was to keep him happy on his journey to the afterlife.
Okay, so the honey was already 3,000 years old when they put it in there?
No. It was 3,000 years old when they found it.
Oh, okay. Good say.
Honey will spoil if you leave it out exposed to the environment.
It will? I thought it couldn't go bad.
No. If you leave it out the environment, it will spoil. To last forever, you got to have a good seal on it. You got to keep away moisture. Like if it's in
a nice... I'm not saying to just leave it out without a cover. You just don't have jars of what am I, Winnie the Pooh? you don't just have.
It says here that the honey that they found in the Egyptian pyramids was sealed properly and it was still good. I absolutely would not eat honey from a pharaoh's tomb, though, because that's cursed, right? That would be cursed.
Well,
somehow.
They probably had like the honey pot, you know, sitting between his legs or something.
100 years ago, 1922 was when they excavated King Tut's tomb. So get ready for a lot of King Tut stuff next year.
Buried in his jammies.
Mm-hmm. Archaeologists tasted the honey, the jar of honey that was in the tomb. And they said it was...
And they've been cursed ever since.
Well, I mean, the oldest honey they've ever found is 5,000 years old. That was discovered in a tomb of a woman in Georgia, the country, not the state. I'm not eating anyone's... Honey that's meant for dead people, I'm not eating. I think I would eat bathroom honey before I would...
Dead man's honey?
Dead man's honey. I'd rather just get it out of a plastic bottle shaped like a bear if given my druthers. They found noodles in a tomb in cemetery that they think are 2,500 years old. Would you eat a 2,500-year-old noodle?
Oh, I thought you meant like a pool noodle.
Yes, Darren. Here you go. This will help you in the afterlife in case there's a pool. Love these things.
He enjoyed a good time. It was an above ground pool. Buried in his Speedo.
Number four.
There are two football movies coming out, biopics.
Oh, yeah?
And yeah. You've not seen the ads for American Underdog?
American Underdog.
American Underdog is a biopic on the life
of
Kurt Warner.
Okay.
Kurt Warner. This will be in theaters for Christmas. Kurt Warner played by
Kurt Russell.
No, Zachary Levy is playing Kurt Warner.
Who is Zachary Levy?
Did you ever watch the show Chuck when that was on TV?
Chuck.
He was also Shazam.
Chuck.
Mm-hmm. Chuck was like, he was a guy that worked at like a Best Buy and he was a super agent.
No.
Yeah, it was on for a couple years. The commercials for this American Underdog look bizarre. You've got Zachary Levy playing Kurt Warner Anna Paquin playing his wife, because I guess Ann B. Davis wasn't available. And then Dennis Quaid is Dick Vermeil. In a million years.
What do you mean? He's not playing Dick Vermeil. He is Dick Vermeil.
No, he'll be playing the role.
He's
the role of Dick Vermeil in this movie. The Kurt Warner movie.
You'll believe he's Dick Vermeil.
You'll believe Dick Vermeil can fly.
Is Dick Vermeil still with us?
Yeah.
I think he is, isn't he?
Sure he is. He's crying about something. I'll give you something to cry about. And then there's this...
Now, I wonder if in this movie it will document Kurt Warner, his appearance on Wheel of Fortune.
I would love it if that was half the movie.
That's all it is.
It's like he works at Hy-Vee, there's 10 minutes where he's on the Rams, and then the rest of the time is his appearance on the Wheel of Fortune. That would be a great... I'll be there opening day for that. Just kind of walking you through what it's like to be a contestant on the wheel.
Really more of a documentary about Wheel of Fortune than anything. But Kurt Warner is just the vehicle that we use.
There's also a biopic coming out that will tell the story of the life of Sean Payton, the coach of the New Orleans Saints.
You mean the scab Chicago Bear quarterback?
That's right. That's right. I'm going to put 30 seconds on the clock, Darren. Who would you cast as Sean Payton? And go.
As Sean Payton?
The other thing about...
Let's see. Sean Payton.
Sean Payton.
Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill is Sean Payton.
Seth Rogen.
The movie is called Home Team, based on the true story of New Orleans coach Sean Payton. Who do you cast as Sean Payton?
Someone willing to cross a picket line.
Okay. First of all... No.
Someone who considers himself a union buster.
The answer is Kevin James.
Kevin James?
They've got Kevin James
in
this
movie. Isn't Kevin James older than Sean Payton? And then I'm guessing that Sean Payton, this is going to be a story about something that took place in his life years ago, right? So then why are you making him the actual age he is now, or older?
And fatter.
And chunkier.
Just say it. And fatter. Here's a little bit of the trailer for Home Team, based on the true life story of Sean Payton.
Hey, Coach. Mr. Goodall is on the phone?
Roger Goodall is on the phone. The commissioner.
He didn't say what his job was.
Coach Payton has been suspended for a full year.
Sean, what are you doing here?
Just came to watch my son play football. Played a great game out there.
You lost 0-40.
Can't help it if all your teammates are horrible.
He was good too. A couple of good guys.
We're the worst team in the league.
They need some motivation.
You're seriously ordering a pizza right now?
Oh yeah, I want stuffed crust. What kind of question is that?
You're only here because you got suspended.
Being Sean Payton's son ain't easy. It may be easier on him if you were on that field with us every day.
You do need help.
Coach Payton is going to be our new offensive coordinator.
Our defense sucks, too.
Dennis just fall down?
Yeah, he doesn't like contact.
You know he's playing football?
What is this? The Mighty Ducks?
Apparently.
What, there's no mention of his disregard for the players' union?
Life, Darren, doesn't have a playbook. Home Team, the new... Kevin James feel-good comedy about Sean Payton dealing with being suspended.
Okay, so this is just a limited time thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a retrospective.
No, it's about how he got suspended after Bounty Gate.
With all the different people that they use in the Hy-Vee commercials, why don't they use Kurt Warner?
Oh, interesting.
You know, they've got everybody else.
He's probably their most famous employee.
They've
of
got
all time.
Gene Simmons, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
They got Travis Kelce. They've got Mahomes. They've got...
Yeah.
Why don't you use Kurt Warner?
That's a good question. I wonder, too, in this feel-good movie where Sean Payton goes to teach the kids, if they explain that the reason that he's teaching those kids is...
His team had a hit list.
They had a hit list to injure people. Right? He wasn't suspended because he needed to go spend time with his kids.
No.
There was a bounty program in place that they were getting bonuses for hurting players.
Trying
right?
to mangle people.
Right? Sean Payton was the first head coach in modern NFL history to be suspended for any reason. And they want to turn this around into a Kevin James feel-good movie.
Is he on a Segway at any point in the movie? Because it seems to me like Kevin James always ends up on a Segway.
Well, that's you're thinking of the Mall Cop series.
Well, still.
You think... That's a lot of walking around on the field.
I mean, that is a lot of walking around on the field.
So when you're Sean Payton and they sell the rights to your story, you're like, great. And then they say, hey, we got a big star to be you in the movie. You're
We got the same people that casted Moneyball.
Terrific.
Oh, great. Who's going to play me? Kevin James. What? Yeah, it's the same casting outfit that did Moneyball. Huh?
A lot to deal with there. A lot to unpack.
You've got it in your head that Brad Pitt's going to play you.
We weren't able to get Brad Pitt, but just as good.
Just as
Kevin
good.
James. So that's coming to Netflix next.
Now we're not
going to
lie.
Month.
He's put a little weight on.
Well, this is the thing too. In the scene that we just played the audio from, the first scene, he's when the ditzy assistant who doesn't know Roger Goodell's name
or what his job is.
Yeah, when she comes to go, Mr. Payton, there's a call from Roger Goodell. Yeah. When that happens. The character of Sean Payton is played by Kevin James, sitting at his desk, eating a chili donut.
Now, we have cast the role of the token dumb girl.
Uh-huh. Funny how she's not a chunky, middle-aged person.
No.
Funny how she's an attractive young gal. We were going to go after like Sydney Greenstreet, but apparently he's no longer with us. So we got Kevin James. What is Wayne Knight not taking the phone call?
Oh, we wish.
Well, we couldn't get
Wayne Knight wanted too much money. And he didn't want to play a union buster.
Wait a minute. You tell me we couldn't get Louis Anderson to be Sean Payton?
There you go.
I got suspended.
Okay. Full disclosure, I would watch Louis Anderson as Sean Payton. I would watch that right now. I would end the show and I would go home and watch that if I knew that was an option.
We won the Super Bowl or whatever.
We're going to catch him off guard with an onside kick.
It's tough to be my kid, I guess.
Oh, Coach Payton, maybe you could turn this team of kids
I wasn't
around.
Good enough to play in the real NFL.
He went to Eastern Illinois, didn't he?
He did, Yeah, he did.
But wasn't drafted.
Well, that I don't know.
How do you get
if he did? He was not a first round pick.
How do you get that gig as a fake player during the strike?
You just raise your hand, I guess.
I mean, did they have tryouts, or how would that have worked? That would be a more interesting movie.
It would be
the people who played during the strike.
Although they've already done that, that's called The Replacements, right?
Is that what that? Yeah, but that's not based on the NFL. That's based on a league that doesn't exist, right?
Well. Be that as it may.
Yeah. But did they kind of explain how that worked out? Let's see. He played, he was not drafted in any 87 draft. Tried out for the Chiefs. Played for the Chicago Bruisers and the Pittsburgh Gladiators during the Arena Football League. His rights were sold to the Canadian Football League, the Ottawa Rough Riders, for $1,000. He was also the quarterback for the strike-breaking replacement Spare Bears during the 1987 NFL player strike. Mm-hmm. Three games, completed 8 of 23 passes. Not a lot of...
not a world beater.
He was a starting quarterback, wasn't he?
Huh?
Sacked 7 times for 47 yards, had 1 rushing attempt for 28 yards. His lone interception came against the New Orleans Saints. Then he went on to the Panthers in the UK Budweiser National League.
The what?
Yeah, apparently they had a Budweiser National League of football in the late 80s over in England.
Oh, yeah.
I've no
memory. Yeah, they had NFL Europe, didn't they?
That was something else. Oh, yeah. That was something, and then different. There was the World League, and they've tried a bunch of stuff. But yeah. Well, Kevin James is Sean Payton
in Mall Cop 3.
Number five.
Here's this morning's Florida story. And Florida woman accused of poisoning her boyfriend because, her words now, he wouldn't shut up. She's been charged for allegedly poisoning her partner of 9 years. Apparently, Elvis Parrish had enough.
Zip it.
According to a police report from the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office, God, I would love it if Urban Meyer was somehow her boyfriend, but I don't think that's how this story ends. Elvis Parrish, who's 54, accused of giving her boyfriend a drink spiked with tablets of something called quetiapine. It's an antipsychotic medicine that's used to treat schizophrenia.
And it'll kill you, huh?
Well, I mean, you shouldn't be giving that to somebody in their lemonade, which is what she did, apparently. Deputies found a bottle of lemonade with a powdery substance at the bottom inside their home. Authorities say that she was sitting on the front porch when they arrived and was screaming at the responding officers. She told the officers she did it because he just wouldn't shut the F up. The sheriff's office told the local media
That's
down there.
That's not the world's best poker face.
Yeah, that right to remain silent, that's to your benefit.
Can be.
She went on to say, quote, "I gave him just enough to shut him up and called y'all so he wouldn't die. Do whatever you want, but if you don't take me, I will kill him." Deputies say the man was extremely lethargic when they got to the house, and he was unaware of why he was feeling so tired.
Didn't have much to say.
No.
For once.
Yeah, if you were to OD on these pills, the side effects are drowsiness, dizziness, fainting, and a fast heartbeat. So now she's being charged with poisoning food or water with intent to kill or injure a person. She'll be in court on December the 29th. So happy birthday to you in jail.
Mm-hmm.
The guy was, I guess, offered medical attention. He declined it, but then he was later taken to the hospital when deputies found him on the floor saying he didn't feel well.
Wait a minute. Wait, how does that work? He's there. They're out on the porch with the police.
Yes.
And the police are still there.
Yes.
And somehow he makes his way to the floor?
Well, he wasn't out cold. He was just very, very sleepy.
But wait, how do they... So he leaves their site for a while?
They ask him, do you need a doctor? No. You need medical attention? He says no.
No.
And then, you know, they're probably there doing
then
their
paperwork.
Then
they turn their back and do some paperwork, and next thing they know, he's on the floor?
Bound for the floor. That's right. And he's doing that thing when you're on the floor where you're talking and your mouth is like this on the side of the... Maybe I should go to the hospital if I, in retrospect, I'm feeling very sluggish.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and take you anyway.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
This isn't going to be your decision anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you've made your way to the floor.
Now, if he goes to the hospital and somehow the nurses poison him.
Well, I don't think the nurses will do that.
Well, but if he's to the point where he won't shut up.
Well.
And people who have committed their lives to restoring health actively try to kill a man. I think then and only then Elvis walks away scot-free. I think or maybe what you do is you have him take the stand. I'm just trying to think, if I were her attorney, I would have this guy take the stand and I'd keep him on the stand so he would just keep talking and blabbering on to the point where the jury wants harm to fall upon him. And then you let them deliberate. And then, Your Honor, no further questions. Just saying, if I were Elvis Parrish's attorney, I'm not an attorney.
No, you're not.
No. I think I would have been a good one, though. Maybe that's what I should have done.
Do you think you would have been a defense attorney or a prosecutor?
You know, I've given this a lot of thought. I tend to think defense attorney.
See, I would have thought a prosecutor. I would have thought that you would have had some sort of...
Well, you know my love for the law.
Bloodlust for the electric chair.
Yeah, no, I'm morally opposed to the death penalty, but I am somebody who likes to follow the rules. So, I don't know. You're right, Darren. Maybe I would do more prosecutory work. I could see that.
Yeah, I think you would.
But see, I would be kept...
You'd be constantly trying to put someone in the gas chamber.
No, no, I wouldn't. I told you.
You would try to bring back different types of
capital
punishments.
No, false.
Firing squad.
False. I'm against the capital
punishment.
The
guillotine.
No. No, there's no one that I would say that's okay for. No, emotionally, there's plenty of people I'd like to see get guillotined. But, you know, that's not something I'd want to be involved with. I'm guessing, too, prosecutor probably pays better, too, right?
Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't think so. No, I would think a defense would get paid more.
Well, it depends on who your client is.
Well, yeah, of course.
If you're the attorney that's provided for if you can't afford an attorney, you get one provided for you. Like, the public defenders aren't probably raking in the dough, right?
Well, no, but I'm talking about
if you're OJ's lawyer, that's one thing.
That's the defense.
Yeah.
That's.
Yeah, I don't think I could do that. I think you're right, Darren. I think I would want to be on the prosecution side. Although, you could just go into law where you're just suing other people. I think that would be more fun, where you're not dealing with heinous crimes. You're just, you know, like I'd like to go after her for civil damages, for poisoning my client here, giving him lemonade.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just a simple man. But I know when a girlfriend of 9 years offers you a glass of lemonade in your home, you should be allowed to drink that without being afraid of being poisoned.
To that end, I believe she deserves the chair.
Now, why is every scenario ending with somebody dying at the hands of the state? Further, Your Honor, we need to close these beaches.
It was a parking fine.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
And so we must draw a curtain on this endeavor, this episode of Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things. We hope to make more. Thanks for listening to this one.
We'll make more.
Downloading it, subscribing, leaving reviews, all of those great things that you've done for us. We thank you as we thank Nature's Treatment of Illinois.
Yeah, they are the sponsor of the podcast. They have two locations, Tech Drive in Milan, West Main Street in Galesburg. Both locations now open 7 days a week. Nature's Treatment offers a wide selection of products for recreational use, including flower, vapes, and edibles. The recreational waiting lists are available. Reserve your time at ntillinois.com.
Until we get a chance to give you another podcast, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities record spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Vaya, con Dios.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
So nobody's place.